Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, it's Flo, and this is my impression of a beat poet.
Name.
Name your.
Name your price.
A tool, an idea, an inspiration. To do more than just say what you want to pay. Oh, no. But to see the options that could fit your budget.
Steve,
enough bongos.
Find car insurance that fits your budget at Progressive.com.
Makes me want to dance.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Blog Talk Radio.
It has been said that those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. The kings of Israel and Judah. Old Testament Israel was unified and ruled by one human for only 120 years of its history. From 1050 to 930 B.C., King Saul from the tribe of Benjamin, David from the tribe of Judah, and Solomon each ruled for 40 years. After Solomon's death, the unified kingdom was divided into two distinct entities, different royal lineages. The Most High himself told Solomon that the nation would split into two separate pieces because he caused the people to worship many pagan gods. What made them? And what did ultimately break them? You see, we are a royal people with a royal pedigree. And as we begin to awaken from the curses of Deuteronomy 28 and come back to the statutes, laws, and commandments while under grace, we must remember our forefathers and their sins. All while making relevant the lessons of their leadership. The good and the bad. So join me, Elder V, on Blueprint for Life this Shabbat as we look at the kings of Israel and Judah. You see, this is our legacy, our history of our sojourn. You will be inspired and you will be moved as you learn about your forefathers, the kings of Israel and Judah. alone, brothers and sisters. It's your brother, me, the preacher. And it's been some time since we had an opportunity to be with you on these airwaves and to share and participate in the goodness of the Most High. I'm sure he's good to you if you're listening, because you're breathing and you still got the activities of your limbs, I believe. So this is a day that the Most High has made. We want to give him all praise. The sister was saying, I like that song because she's talking about Isaiah. I believe Isaiah within the 6th chapter where he said, here am I, send me. And the Most High is looking for soldiers. We running out of soldiers. We got a bunch of charlatans, fakes, hood rats, hoodlums, pimps, false prophets, fake elders, running around here trying to deceive the people like the Most High said would happen in the last days. But there's only going to be a remnant. 2/3 are going to catch a hot one. But the rest of y'all that are keeping these statutes, laws, and commandments and being faithful and holding it down and that are willing to do whatever the Most High says, that knows that our blessings come from him. It's not based on what you have or what you've done. Those are the ones that's going to make it through the fire. Those are the ones that will know what Psalms 91:1 stands for. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. Isaiah, no weapon formed against us can prosper. And every tongue that rises up against us in judgment, we shall condemn. Those are the ones I'm talking about, partner, that understand that this is a spiritual warfare for now. Pretty soon we will throw them things, so keep yourself strong. But this is a for now. And it takes a lot for a man or even a woman, a coatee, to be strong spiritually in this hour, because Satan is attacking our spirit so that he can destroy our flesh. You got to have his word. You got to have these commandments. You got to put it in you like you put hot breakfast in your body every morning. You got to have it if you want to survive. This is our weekly study. I normally do it on Wednesdays, but we didn't get a chance to get to it last night, so I want to come at you early this morning so we can make sure we get it out there. I want to thank everybody for your prayers, little movement and transition with the family for the last few weeks, but we kept on prophesying in the wind, on praying, and we kept the faith. And it is my prayer that you are keeping the faith. I've been praying for you Hebrews out there in the four corners of the earth, because I know that you're being tripped out by what's going on in the media, because every day, every second, every hour, prophecy is being fulfilled. But you ought to be excited. As a matter of fact, welcome to the end of the Gentile rule. That's right, brothers and sisters. We're getting closer and closer to the time that we shall reign. We shall conquer. And these Edomites, Esau, Zionists, and fake Jews, they are in fear of what they see coming on us. Some of y'all, your chest is poking out. Some of y'all getting strong, and they can see it, that your eyes are open, wide open, and you waking up your brothers and sisters. Do me a favor. Do me a favor. If you see a brother and sister, you make sure you let them know that they Israel, that we Hebrews, that you're not a religion, you're not Islam, you're not Buddhist, you sure ain't Christian. But we disciples of the Most High, Ahaya, Ashar, Ahayah. That's right. You might call him Yah. Well, it's a hey Yah. So trust me, it's all up in there. But we are his disciples, following after our big brother, Yeshua HaMashiach. And that's what we're trying to do out here. But you can't just walk by and not say nothing and keep this to yourself. Cry out loud and spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet in Zion and show my people their transgressions. That is Isaiah, the 58th chapter. You got to be down in this hour. Don't be no coward. Don't be no punk now. Now's not the time. We're too close to the end. If you see your brother and sister slipping, you got to say something. You can't just walk by and say, oh, well, it ain't got nothing to do with me. No, it's not like that. For to whom much is given, much is required, and you will be judged for that you walked away from. What you think is yours is not yours. It belongs to the Most High. Hey, I got to let you know, so that I make sure you let everybody else know. That's what V, the preacher, is going to do. Because this is the closing hours. I'm a little pissed off. I ain't going to talk about all that right now because this day is actually the evening that we do Straight No Chaser. So I will be on tonight at 9 o'clock p.m. Pacific time doing Straight No Chaser, where we will talk about the events that are taking place in this world all around us. And I am hot as fish grease about this damn Gay Pride weekend that's coming up too close to me. I'm trying to get as far as possible because it's about to rain down fire and brimstone. But I'm going to save some of that for later on this evening. You know, they're trying to get us to compromise and to go along with this and dare you to buck against it. But straight lives matter. Most of all, Hebrew lives matter. Don't compromise. Don't compromise. If somebody come up to you and say, Happy Pride Day, you better tell them to get the hell away from me with that. I serve the Most High and the King is coming. You better repent or else you will find yourself at the bottom floor with gasoline drawers on. So we got to let them know, brothers and sisters, don't give in. Don't cower. Don't bite your tongue. Let's stand up for what we believe in. That's why we were put in the earth. We are the light of the world and the salt of the earth, and we must prophesy. So I had to get that out, you know, because it's been a while since I've been on the radio, and I know I'm supposed to be just doing a quick reading. We're going to just do a little Bible study of the kings of Judah and Israel, because that is a blessing to us. Those are our forefathers, and as I said in that promo that you heard, it's an opportunity for us to learn more about our history, our shortcomings, how we fell, because it was never the Most High's will for us to have a king because he was all that we needed. But us being the hard-headed, stiff-necked people we are, looked at the Gentiles and said, we want somebody that sits on a throne with leopard skin suits on and gold and a crown that we can look to and bow down, that can make us look good and shine. We still like that. We still look for a leader. So if you go in the archives, you can catch up with a lot of the previous lessons that we've done, and you'll hear some great things, especially of the first three kings of Israel and Judah combined, which was Shaul, King Saul, and then King David. But we learn a lot from the first king and how he made a lot of mistakes and didn't understand that obedience was better than sacrifice. We learn a lot from him that you must wait upon the Most High. We learn a lot from Saul that jealousy would tear you up. We learned a lot from Saul that he got in trouble with the Most High within the first year of his reign and reaped the consequences many years later. We learned a lot from Saul that he began to, when he didn't hear from the Most High, he got impatient and sought out witches, crystal balls, and witchcraft. And a lot of us get impatient too. We don't wait on him. And he told us in the scripture, they that wait on the Most High shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall walk and not get weary. They shall run and not faint. I will say of the Most High, he is my strength. But, you know, skip David. You know about David, but we get to Solomon. And this, you know, I want to say this Negro split the kingdom. It's because of him and his 700 wives and his lust for these 700 women that led him astray and had him worshiping many other gods and introduced a lot of paganism and witchcraft into Israel, and caused us to be split into the northern and southern kingdom, which we reap the consequences of that today. So I think it's imperative that we cover our history on Wednesdays, doing it today, Thursday, in the morning, to understand and bring over into our lives some of the mistakes that great men can make, meaning that we can make also. So today we're going to take a look at three particular kings that they're probably not as popular. So I'll just give you a quick biography on him, and we'll do some scripture reading on him. And I won't expound too much. We're just going to get into the script coming from the King James. Let's see. We're going to start out with King Ahaziah. King Ahaziah. Now, let me read this background on him. His story is filled with tragedy and wickedness. He was the son of one of the most brutal couples in the scripts. Well, I won't say the most brutal couple. It was his grandfather who was the most brutal, and his grandmother. He was the son of King Jehoram and Queen Athaliah, but he was the grandson of King Ahab. Ahaziah followed the evil path of his forebears during his 1 year as the king of Judah. Just 1 year. He ascended to the throne upon the death by disease of his father Jehoram. We talked about that. And he was the youngest of Jehoram's son. He was only 22 when he rose into prominence. He was chosen by default because all his brothers and his father's cabinet having been kidnapped and killed by other armies, consequences of their sins. And his uncles were slain by his father when he took the throne because his father wanted to make sure that he had no heirs. His own family and friends, thus absent, he turned to his mother's family for friendship and counsel. So therefore, his mother's family, that was the side where Ahab was. Ahaziah was the nephew through his mother of Israel's evil king Jehoram. The only incident that the Bible relates about Ahaziah involves his death, so that's the only thing that you really find in the scripts. Ahaziah accompanied Jehoram in battle against Syria. Jehoram was wounded and retired to his palace at Jezreel to recuperate. Ahaziah accompanied him there. As the two kings rested, Jehoram's general, Jehu, approached the city by chariot, having been sent by the Lord's prophet Elisha to kill all the descendants of evil King Ahab, the husband of Jezebel, and assume the throne of Israel. Both Jehoram and Ahaziah were descendants of Ahab. As Jehu's chariots approached, the two kings went together to meet Jehu, and he killed them both. Now, when Queen Athaliah discovered her son had been killed, she determined to ascend the throne herself. So that was the one time for a brief period, we're going to talk about her next, that a woman sat on the throne. We know that was against the Most High's will. Let's go to the scripts real quick. I think with that, I'm going to go to 2 Kings 8 and 24. Tells us, well, I'm going to start at, 24. And Jehoram slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Ahaziah, his son, reigned in his stead. In the 12th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, did Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, begin to reign. Verse 26. 22 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri, king of Israel. And he walked in the way of the house of Ahab and did evil in the sight of the Lord, as did the house of Ahab, for he was the son-in-law of the house of Ahab. Everybody that tried to sit in this seat, the majority of them did evil or ended up into idolatry. You know, most of us can't handle that much power in front of people, putting us up on the throne, which is why the father never wanted it to be so. He wants to look to him and to depend on him. When Samuel had first heard that the people wanted the king, he began to cry and weep, because he knew that the foundation was that of idolatry. Why are we always looking at somebody? Everybody's always getting caught up into looking at somebody. It's just like some of y'all that look to these clowns who ain't nothing but slaves in the NBA and got caught up in that game, which was fixed because they work for these Zionists. We got so many distractions happening around us, but as I said, I'm going to save some of that for Straight No Chaser tonight, Most High willing. But the fact of the matter is that our flesh
will cause us to become idolatrous because we can't look at ourselves through the Most High's eyes. Jeremiah 1 and 5, my favorite, one of my favorite. He says, before you were formed in the belly, I knew you, called you and sanctified you to be a prophet. Do you realize, stop, pause, check, say lie. Do you realize the only reason your eyes are open and you are awake is because he chose you? You didn't choose him. Nah, he tapped you on the shoulder and said, check this out, pay attention. And he caused you to receive it. And he caused you to want to grow by it. Now everything around you is trying to thwart you and keep you from growing like a plant, like a shrub that's not being watered. You didn't choose this. He chose you because he has a remnant, and prophecy must be fulfilled because he promised Abraham that there would be a remnant. Moses prayed that we wouldn't all be destroyed. Let me continue reading this. Let's see. 2 Kings 9 and 28, and he went with Joram, the son of Ahab, to the war against Hazael, king of Syria, and Ramoth Gilead. And the Syrians wounded Joram, and King Joram went back to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds which the Syrians had given him at Ramah when he fought against Hazael, king of Syria. And Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Joram, the son of Ahab, in Jezreel because he was sick. Now, if you get deep into 2 Kings 9, it's a long chapter. I'm not going to read it all. It tells you about the sickness and the boils and everything that happened, which led to 2 Kings 9 and 14. So Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram. Now, Joram had kept Ramoth Gilead, he and all Israel, because of Hazael, king of Syria. But King Joram was returned to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds which the Syrians had given him, which he fought with Hazael, king of Syria. And Jehu said, if it be your minds, then let none go forth nor escape out of the city to go tell it in Jezreel. So Jehu rode in a chariot and went to Jezreel, for Joram lay there, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, was come down to see Joram. And there stood a watchman in the tower in Jezreel, and he spied the company of Jehu as he came. Said I, see a company. And Joram said, take a horseman, send to meet them, and let him say, is it peace? So there went one on horseback to meet him and said, thus said the king, is it peace? And Jehu said, what hast thou to do with peace? Turn thee behind me. And the watchman told, saying, the messenger came to them, but he cometh not again. Then he sent out a second on horseback, which came to them and said, thus saith the king, is it peace? And Jehu answered, what hast thou to do with peace? Turn thee behind me. He was trying to warn him and let him know he was about to get in that you know what. Verse 20. And the watchman told, saying, he come even unto them and cometh not again. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he driveth furiously. And Joram said, make ready, and his chariot was made ready. And Joram, the king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Israel means that he was a king over the northern tribes, and Ahaziah, the southern tribes, went out, each in his chariot. We was banging like Crips and Bloods. Went out each in his chariot, and they went out against Jehu and met him in the portion of Naboth, the Jezreelite. And it came to pass, when Joram saw Jehu, that he said, is it peace? Jehu, and he answered, what peace so long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many? He called them out then, because everybody knew what Jezebel was. And that dang Jezebel spirit is still floating around here today, which is why we got to rebuke it, brothers. That Jezebel spirit that's on a lot of these sisters trying to destroy these kings. And these sisters can get mad if they want to, but I'm going to call it like I see it, because Satan comes at the weaker vessel. Because he knows to stay back off these brothers as long as we on our A game. He can't come near us. He's afraid of us. But when you put a crack in the pot, he sees a crack in the device. He sees that you broke down. or that you open up the door, then you can be destroyed. Let's finish looking at what happened. And it came to pass when Joram saw Jehu that he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" And he answered, "What peace? So long as the whoredoms of your mother, Jezebel, and her witchcrafts are so many." Verse 23. I'm in 2 Kings, the 9th chapter. And Joram turned his hands and fled. He got scared then because he called him out like it's about to be on. Verse 24. And Jehu drew a bow with his full strength and smote him. That means he was running it. He shot him in the back between his arms, and the arrow went out the front of his heart, and he sunk down his chariot. Man, you know that brother was bad. He gonna take off running, thought he was getting somewhere, pierced him with an arrow, went all the way through his body. Didn't stick him, went through his body. Verse 25, then said Jehu to Bidkar, his captain, "Take up and cast him in the portion of the field of Naboth, the Jezreelite. For remember how that when I and thou rode together after Ahab, his father, the Lord laid this burden upon him. Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his son," said the Lord. "And I will requite thee in this plat," saith the Lord. "Now therefore take and cast him into the plat of ground according to the word of the Lord." This man was about our father's business, getting rid of these idolatrous kings that was over the southern tribe of Judah and Benjamin and Levi. Let's see what happens with who we're talking about, Ahaziah. But when Ahaziah, the king of Judah, saw this, he fled by the way of the garden house. So he started running too, because they knew somebody was up in there coming through just about to just slay all this idolatry, just taking people out. And Jehu followed after him and said, "Smite him also, kill him also in the chariot." And they did so at the going up to Gur, which is by Adullam. And he fled to Megiddo, but he died there. And his servants carried him in a chariot to Jerusalem and buried him in his sepulcher with his fathers in the city of David. And in the 11th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, began Ahaziah to reign over Judah. Then it goes on to talk about how Jehu assassinated Jezebel. So we see that the Most High wasn't playing with them doing evil and bringing idolatry into the camp. Let me see if I can finish up with Ahaziah before we move on. 2 Chronicles 20, 35 through 37. We talked about how they did wickedness and he tried to create these ships of Tarshish with Jehoram, and the Most High destroyed the ships, wouldn't even let them sail out. So only thing, as we mentioned, that's really spoken of about Ahaziah, where he was destroyed because he did wicked, all before 25. And that's what happened with him. And then his mother, after she found out he had died, she tried to take over the kingdom. So we're going to talk about Athaliah. She was the daughter of Israel's king Ahab, which means her mama was Jezebel. Athaliah was the daughter of Israel's king Ahab, was married to Judah's king Jehoram, and was the mother of Jehoram's successor, King Ahaziah. Jehoram died prematurely of disease. Now, these diseases was falling on our people, according to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. You have to understand that. He said, "These diseases I will put upon your people of Egypt if you break my commandments." We don't have many kings that taught the people to do the commandments. If we go back on some of the previous lessons, every king that did well and that was pleasing to the Most High came in and reestablished the Sabbath, commandments, the laws, and the Levites and the holy days. These other clowns came in and didn't establish this. They just wanted to establish their reign. Matter of fact, they came in with jealousy and possessiveness and open to other idolatrous acts and what other nations were doing. And they saw quick death, and they were removed from the throne quickly. The Most High is not playing. Our people think they can get away with murder, but he's not letting it go down. Jehoram died prematurely by disease, And Ahaziah was killed only a year later after Jehoram. Now, when this happened, Athaliah, well-schooled, listen to this, she was well-schooled in evil. The only thing in her heart was evil. The only thing she knew how to do was witchcraft. We know her mother had chased off Elijah, and Jezebel had called the prophets and had prophets running. But Jezebel's inn, well, she was eaten up by dogs, because Jehu had Jezebel thrown off the roof by a bunch of prophets. And when she hit the ground, chariots ran over her. He walked away. He said, go get her and bury her. When they got back, there wasn't nothing left but her skull, palms of her hand, and her feet, because the dogs had ate her up. And this was prophesied by Elijah that it would happen. Most High ain't even. I try to tell people all the time, these little small things that people think they're going to get away with, these kids playing. Do you know Elijah called a she-bear out of the woods to destroy and kill some children because they was mocking him and calling him bald-head Elijah, bald-head Elijah, and he called out a bear? Man, y'all don't know the Most High. He's a man of war and of blood, and he will give the right to his prophets and to those that do his will, the right to call down fire upon those that disdain his prophets or his will or his laws or his purpose. So you can get in the Most High's way if you want to, but you're not going to mess with a righteous man. So check this out. Let's finish this about Athaliah. When this happened, Athaliah, well-schooled and evil, decided not to allow her baby grandson to become king. So it was supposed to go to the grandson. But she's like, oh, hell to the no. I'm ready for this. I want this. And we knew the Most High wouldn't allow no woman to sit on the throne. But to assume the throne herself, to this end, she murdered every heir, got rid of every male that could possibly sit in the throne who might be a rival to the throne, and then declared herself queen. However, her daughter, Jehosheba, managed to rescue Ahaziah's baby son, Joash. And with the aid of her husband, the faithful priest, Jehoiada, kept him hidden for 6 years. Now, when Joash was 7 years old, Jehoiada, in a display of great courage, foresight, and faith, man, the Most High has always got a ram in the bush. What he did was he orchestrated a coup to overthrow wicked Athaliah and place the rightful King David's heir, Joash, on the throne. Jehoiada secretly amassed a large force at the temple. That's why you got to keep your ears open, man, and stay prayerful. Don't never accept the status quo when you know it's outside the will of the Father. If it's not pleasing to his commandments, statutes, and laws, you got to say to yourself, okay, Father, what you want me to do about this? And the Ruach HaKadosh showed them a plan on how to hide this boy and prepare him and bring him through. We see this happen with Moses. We see that this happened with Jacob and Esau, or what the mom did with Jacob and how she prepared him and said, nah, he's going to be the one to get the blessing. Go in there. Don't worry about it. If you let it be on me. Most High's ways are not like your ways. So this little coup he put together, they were armed and stationed strategically in the temple. Hiding out. This sounds like some movie you've seen. And when all was ready, he brought Joash out of hiding and crowned him and gave him a copy of the Constitution and proclaimed him king. And there was a great celebration. For nobody liked evil Athaliah because she was nothing but a reminder of Jezebel and Ahab and a wicked time. But when Athaliah heard what was happening, she came to inspect, and she learned what had happened. She came to the temple shouting treason. We cannot fall to note the irony in this pronouncement, treason, after she had killed every heir, and she didn't know where this one came from. Immediately he ordered everyone, Jehoiada, to kill her. Everybody stoned her, killed her, and got rid of her. And that was the celebration. I don't even need to go into the scripts on Athaliah. But if you go to 2 Kings 11, you find out about it. And 2 Chronicles 22, 10 through 23 tells of her short career through treason and murder and trying to continue in the ways of Ahab and Jezebel. The reason I talk about Joash is because he became a king at 7 years old. Now, he did mess up, but he started off well. Let's look at some of the scriptures on Joash. I'm going to go to 2 Chronicles 25, 17 through 25. Second Chronicles 25:17. Then Amaziah, king of Judah, took advice and sent to Joash, the son of Jehoahaz. You got to remember, they're talking to a kid, 7-year-old kid. The son of Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, come, let us see one another in the face. And Joash, king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, the thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, give thy daughter to my son to wife. And there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon and trod down the thistle. Thou sayest, lo, thou hast smitten the Edomites, all praises, and thine heart lifteth thee up to boast. Abide now at home. Why shouldest thou meddle to thine hurt, and that thou shouldest fall even thou and Judah with thee? But Amaziah would not hear, for it came of the Most High, that he might deliver them into the hand of their enemies, because they sought after the gods of Edom. So Joash, the king of Israel, went up, and they saw one another in the face, both he and Amaziah, king of Judah. Joash was the king of the northern, Amaziah of the southern, and they were trying to come together, but Joash was trying to deceive him and to trick him. 2 Chronicles 25 and 22, and Judah was put to the worse before Israel, and they fled every man to his tent. And Joash, the king of Israel, took Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, and Beth Shemesh, and brought him to Jerusalem, and broke down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, 400 cubits. And he took all the gold and the silver, and all the vessels that were found in the house of the Most High, with Obed-Edom and the treasures of the king's house, the hostages also, and returned to Samaria. And Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived after the death of Joash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, 15 years. Now the rest of the acts of Amaziah, first and last, behold, are they not written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel? Joash arose as a bright star in a dark time. For 15 years, Judah had been ruled by Jehoram, Ahaziah, and Athaliah. But as a baby, Joash was rescued, as we talked about, and he came in. Now, when at the age of 7, he eliminated many of the evils that were instituted by the people that was before him. Most notably, he supervised, this is important, listen, he supervised the reconstruction of Solomon's temple, which was deteriorating. A young king, one of the youngest, in kindness, Joash raised without the benefit of a father or mother or stable community. Remember, he's a little adopted little kid just placed in there. The Most High allowed Jehoiada to live to an extreme age so he could be around to Joash's at least 30th birthday. Now, all this time, Joash followed the wise counsel of Jehoiada, who was a great man of the Most High. Now, when Jehoiada died, Joash began to fall victim to all the political pressures after he lost that covering, that guidance, that counsel, that wise counsel, and letting the new refurbished temple fall again into despair. Solomon's temple, up, down, up, down. And he began to get into occult worship like Solomon did, and all the sins that came along with it. So the Most High sent prophets to warn Joash, but he didn't even want to hear it. So climatically, the Most High sent Jehoiada's son, Zechariah, to rebuke him, but he didn't want to repent. So he tried to plot the murder of his rescuer's sons. And not long after that, he was killed himself. And that's where we find that in 2 Kings 11, 2 Kings 12, 2 Chronicles 22, 10 through 24. So we find that he started out good, and then later on, Joash became a murderer himself. And then later, the assassination, as I was mentioning in 2 Chronicles 24, 23 through 27. We see a repetition of the same things happening, where one will start out well, not all of them. Some of them started out murdering, like, oh man, I got power now. I'm in a position. Let me make sure, okay, nobody else come behind me, get this power. And it's amazing how only a few of us want to come in and do right and do well. But the strange thing, Joash was only probably able to do right because he was under the counsel of Jehoiada, and he came in at 7 years old. He couldn't do nothing but listen and obey. And that's why the Most High even tells us that we must come as children and come with youth, come as babies, be willing to be humble and learn. But once the counsel was gone and he became a little bit older and became arrogant, he began to give in to poor counsel, bad people around him, and he began to let things deteriorate. And then he began to try to take control of things himself by murdering people off. And we see that in the scriptures that we read. That's why Jehoiada lived to be 130 years old, just to give him counsel. But God said that the Most High said that this man has to come home now. We find so much from the story. And even what, you know, he tried to attempt to do to Zacharias, who was a great prophet. Assyria launched a second attack against Jerusalem, slaughtering the nobility and plundering their wealth. Since this was only a small strike force, Joash quickly assembled a full army and struck in defense of his kingdom. However, lacking the Most High support, he was unable to fight well. We never did well when we didn't have the Ark of the Covenant or the Most High behind us. We as a people are waiting now for the Most High's return to strengthen us. And that is the fear of this nation, that Hebrews and Israelites that are scattered throughout the four corners of the earth, and they finally wake the hell up and come into the knowledge that we are more than them, and that when we are more, and when we are connected, I need you to know that they have our records. They are fully aware of who we are. And when we are connected back to our God, the Most High, Ahayah, that we're going to be able to assemble and fight. But Deuteronomy 28 said, because of the curses, we will have no one to fight for us. If he doesn't go with us, as we see even in the story of Joash, if he's not with you, you will not be mighty in battle, which is why now individually we repel these curses off of us by keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments, and keeping the Shabbat and standing strong, letting Esau know and the Zionists know that your day is coming to an end. So we yearn and learn from the kings of Judah and Israel, the northern and southern kingdom, for we will come back together, and the jealousy of Judah will be repealed too, because Judah, we are different people. We are the strength. We are the bloodline that the Messiah has come through, and we will be strong in battle. Along with our brother Benjamin, Levites will be reassembled. I just want to encourage you this morning, say be steadfast and be unmovable as we learn from our forefathers' mistakes. The Bible, you know, scripture tells us to pray for the sins of our forefathers. because they are the reason we are in this predicament. And the Most High wants us to make sure that we learn from their mistakes and say, I never want to go back there again. So we will be put back in prominence and will stay there forever by the grace of the Most High. That's my time. Be well this evening, 9 p.m. Pacific time. Straight no chaser. This is your brother V. Listen, the only for sure obstacle to truth is to enjoy it. Truth is a journey, not a destination. Sure.
Tearing down each other. Look around, who free the people?